Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. Brighten your day with a book.
Hello, my fellow bookworms. This is Philippa from QuickBook Reviews, author interviews and book reviews. Well, here we are on a Friday. So we've got the short interviews, the 5 questions in 5 minutes with 2 authors. If you want to hear more, these authors have already had fuller interviews, and those can be found a couple of months ago, I'd say now, if you have a look back. But they are there waiting for you if you would like them. But let's get stuck in today. We've got some great books. We've got The Land of Lost Things by John Connolly and Myrtle, More Killer Puzzles by G.T. Carver. Let's get stuck in straight away. So John Connolly's latest book, let me read you the blurb of this beaut. Phoebe, an 8-year-old girl, lies comatose following a car accident. She's a body without a spirit, a stolen child. Her mother can only sit by her bedside and read aloud to her the fairy stories she loves, in the hope they might summon her back to this world. But it is hard to keep faith, so very hard. Now an old house on the hospital grounds, a property connected to a book written by a vanished author, is calling her. Something wants her to enter and to journey to a land coloured by the memories of her childhood and the folklore beloved of her father, to a land of witches and dryads, giants and mandrakes, to a land where old enemies are watching and waiting. Well, let's go and talk to John now about this absolutely astounding book. Well, it is my huge pleasure to welcome back to the podcast John Connolly to talk to us about The Land of Lost Things. John, you have 5 questions in 5 minutes. Are you ready for this?
Okay. I think so.
Your first question, can you summarise this wonderful book for us?
It's about a young mother who loses whose daughter is injured in a car accident. And the mother makes this pilgrimage to her daughter's bed daily and then a little bit less than daily, as she tries to come to terms with what might have happened. And she, part of that process is fairy tales and folk tales and folklore. And eventually, when something inside her breaks, she retreats fully into a world that has a kind of reality to it, I think, psychological and physical, composed of these old stories, and particularly the folklore that her father loved. Her folklore was an amateur English folklorist. And so a lot of that permeates her imagination and influences the world that she enters.
Thank you. It's such an emotional, wonderful read. But who do you think should read this? Who would you say this book would appeal to?
Should read. That makes it sound like I'm putting a gun to the head and going, we'll read this book. Or else it will get, or else the dog gets it. It's the first book, The Book of Lost Things. It follows on from a book I wrote about 17 years ago called The Book of Lost Things. And I always thought of that as a book for adults, because once you reach the end of the story, it becomes clear that it's an old man at the end of his life remembering his childhood, and it's filled with a regret. And regret, I think, is quite an adult emotion. I don't think it's not really one that we associate with childhood particularly. And then gradually it became clear that although older people would read it with that awareness, there were teenagers reading it who had lost a parent or who were watching a marriage disintegrate or were having trouble with a new sibling maybe. And for them, they were reading it in a completely different way. For them, it was completely visceral and immediate. There was no sense of time having passed. They were immersed in this. And I think when I came to The Land of Lost Things, I was more conscious that it was a text that could appeal to two constituencies at the same time. And the important thing was not to talk down to one or up to the other, was to find a tone that accommodated everybody, that didn't exclude.
And so then I don't know. You don't know who's going to pick up and read a book. And I will have readers who, for someone like me who moves between genres and styles, I suppose, your readership becomes like concentric circles of a target. In the middle is a little red dot of people who in the first week will go out and buy what you do. Because they understand that it's all part of it and they can see the connections between books. And they've signed on for the long ride, essentially. And outside them, you've got slightly yellow target, a bit larger one, which is people who will buy the Parker books, my detective series the week they come out, might wait until the other one is discounted or they see it in paperback. And outside that is that the ones who, if they're going through the airport in the holidays and I have a book out and it's a thriller and it looks like it might keep them occupied, they'll buy it. And outside of that is the vast mass of humanity who don't give a rat's ass about me one way or the other. For a book like the book, The Land of Lost Things, I know that there will be some people who like my work but who won't read that book simply because that's not the John Connolly book they want to read. They're like, God bless you, go and write your great Russian novel, but I'll wait until you come back with the thriller. So we're at the mercy of the reading gods when we put a book out, I think.
If you could stand over as godlike while we're reading this book, what emotions would you want us to feel as we're reading this book?
For me, somebody asked a question recently which I thought was quite interesting. Not that that isn't an interesting question. And they said, is there one word that you kind of associate with you that would always be found in your books, that would always be associated with your books? And I said it was hope. I couldn't write a book that didn't have hope in it. And it's why I've always rejected, I don't write noir fiction. And I don't know many writers who do, because actually true noir fiction is really difficult to read, because at the end of it, either everybody's in jail or dead, or noir fiction is completely without hope. That's part of the point of it. And I think this is a book that moves towards a note of hopefulness. That is part of the progression of it, acceptance and hopefulness.
Thank you. Your fourth question is, can you tell us your favourite major, but also your favourite minor character in The Land of Lost Things?
I think, oddly enough, it's probably, there is a character called Callio in the book. And they seem at the beginning to be this quite dangerous, malevolent, selfish figure. And they're filled with rage. And gradually you come to an understanding of why they are the way they are. And in a way, they're almost the most human character in it. Everything you can do, you can understand why they have become the way that they are. And they seem to begin quite peripherally and then they move increasingly towards the center of the narrative. And I just felt, that was the one I understood best, I think. Was that character of Callio. And then I couldn't write. I like humor and lightness in books. I think it's very hard to read because the way I'm describing that, a lot of things makes it sound like it's very hard going. And it really shouldn't be. I don't want the book to be like that. And so there are moments where I want the reader to laugh aloud. And I know Jenny, my wife, would particularly like, there's a series when she goes into finds herself accidentally in a self-help group for witches who are trying not to be wicked anymore, which just deteriorates into this just appalling situation. And so I love those characters. I love those characters of these women who are coming along. Thank God, I've come to these monthly meetings where we have to say, it's been 3 years since my last wickedness. And unless you get involved in the discussion, you don't get a bun at the end of the evening. And I thought, but also they had a, what was important was that everything in the imaginary world should have a kind of equivalent in the real world. So there are references to art monographs that are on our father's shelves, which actually influence the presentation of the world. Although you wouldn't know unless you looked up the name of the artist. And even at the start of the book, a series goes to a support group for parents who are dealing with illness. Then she hates it. She hates this sharing and these people sitting around. It's awful. She doesn't go back and it's really embarrassing. So even that has a little, it's a reflection of something that happened in the real world.
Fantastic. Well, we come to the final question. And when we last talked, the question was about biscuits and your choice was a fig roll. So the question today is, what drink was powering the Land of Lost Things?
I have a weakness for wine. Not particularly fine. I mean, I'm a step up above box wine, let's be clear. Or things that come in cans.
But I do like my, I do like glass of wine. Although I in my youth, I would occasionally have taken a, when I lived alone, I would have taken a glass of wine up in the evening sometimes to work and then thought, I'm a genius. Has it flowed? Has the narrative flowed? Every word a pearl? And then you very quickly realize that it's not a very good way to write. So you try to avoid it. So yeah, it becomes a reward rather than something that you take of. More or less, it's just endless cups of coffee.
Nothing wrong with that. Coffee and wine, perfect combination.
Coffee is our friend.
Well, it's just great to talk to you again and to hear more about the Land of Lost Things. John Connolly, thank you so much.
Thank you, Philippa.
Wonderful. And now let's go on to Myrdal, More Killer Puzzles. So this is book two. You've already got Myrdal out as the first book, and this is the second one. You don't have to have read or done the first book. Done the book, that sounds quite strange, but it's a puzzle logic book, so you'll understand a bit more. Anyway, waffling, here we go. Let's read the blurb. Deductive Logico is back on the scene to investigate murders most foul in Myrdal, More Killer Puzzles. Follow the clues and join Logico to uncover the buried secrets of the Violet Isles. Solve the riddles of an ancient scholar and catch the culprit using the power of deduction. Together, you'll unearth the dark truth beneath each murder and crack the code that can only be decrypted once you've solved them all. Packed with perplexing puzzles, codes and maps, this is the ultimate casebook for the armchair detective in everyone. And I just think with these sort of autumn, winter evenings, this is exactly what we need. Cup of tea, sit down with this and a biscuit, of course, and have a go at these brilliant puzzles. Anyway, enough about me. Let's ask GT Carber their five questions. It is my huge pleasure to welcome back to the podcast GT Carber to talk to us again about Myrdal, More Killer Puzzles. Welcome back.
It's great to be back.
Let's start with the basics. Can you just summarize this book for us again?
Yeah, Myrdal, More Killer Puzzles is the follow-up to Myrdal. It's a collection of 100 murder mystery logic puzzles that anyone can learn to solve. They're family-friendly, except for the murders, and there's a storyline that runs through all of the puzzles that I hope everybody enjoys.
Next question is, why should we buy this book? Who would it appeal to?
I have found that the audience that likes the book the most are people who like sort of classic fair play murder mysteries, who like cozies. There's a big overlap there. People who love puzzles seem to really like it. There are other groups and people who have appreciated the book a lot, but there's a little bit of spoilers involved in saying that. So, yeah, you know, so there are things in the book that people have responded to very positively. And I think everybody can like it. I had a 10-year-old send in their photographs of Lego Myrdal that they had made. And I've had people talk about their grandparents loving to play them in nursing homes. So hopefully it runs a wide gamut of age ranges and types of people. But I would say that if you like mysteries and you enjoy that experience of trying to solve a mystery, then that is target group of people.
Perfect. The next question, this is an interesting one for you. What do you want us to feel as we are working our way through Myrdal?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because I've thought a lot about how to incorporate emotion in the process of solving a puzzle, because we typically think of puzzles as being very analytical and very divorced from emotional experiences. I generally want people to be delighted by them, but also I really like to put in as much Easter eggs are the wrong word, because they imply sort of that it's like an extra thing that is not integral to it. But I have tried to put so many little bits and pieces scattered throughout the book so that even if you've done all the puzzles, you could still flip through the book and find little connections and cross-references. And so I want it to feel very much like a mystery that people can solve and ponder and study. And I also have a real love of shows that are what I call hangout shows, where the characters become your friends over the course of 500 episodes. their lives aren't necessarily in danger, but over time you sort of feel like you're in their world with them, you're in their office or in their community. And I truly hope that that is the experience that people feel the most with Myrtle, that they feel welcomed and that they feel comfortable with these characters in this world, and that they want to sort of live in the world a little bit.
Great. The next question is, what's your favorite part you enjoy the most?
Making them? It's interesting. I really like the early sketching out of the outline of it and of figuring out what new locations we'll visit and coming up with the way to sort of break a location into sublocations for the puzzles. One thing that I always have fun doing is figuring out what icons go with what thing, because sometimes you have to bend the interpretation of an icon a little, or sometimes there are just no icons for the thing and I have to change what I want the weapon or location to be. And there's a really fun game in reusing those and in figuring out ways to kind of make visual puns on them. For example, in the first book, there is a stone figurine of an ancient god that I think is used as a weapon that's found in a temple somewhere. And I used the same icon for that I used for the Academy Award later on in a Hollywood section. And I really like making these little sort of puns or connections. And that's something that I don't think that many people who are puzzling through the book are necessarily consciously perceiving, but I think it adds to this sense of the world being richer than it first appears.
Absolutely. We come to the final question, which is normally about what drink you've had, but when we talked last time, you hadn't been consuming biscuits, you'd just been consuming coffee. So my question for you this time is, what do you want us to drink or eat as we're doing Myrtles?
Yeah, the answer you've sort of already given it is for sure coffee. It was made with coffee. When we were promoting the first book, the American publisher sent color-changing mugs to people. And so, yeah, they're very nifty. Wow. I think we've given them all away now. So unfortunately, they're now collector's items. But when you're young, I don't know when is the safe age that I could recommend.
Yes.
Trying to be family friendly, and I don't want a letter from a parent of an 8-year-old being like, my kid loves Myrtle and now they demand they drink coffee.
Yes. It's just great to talk to you again about Myrtle and Myrtle More Killer Puzzles. GT Carbo, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And there we have it. Which books have we covered again? Little recap. The Land of Lost Things by John Connolly and Myrtle More Killer Puzzles by G.T. Carver. Those are your books. I'm sending you on your way. Just look after yourselves and I'll talk to you very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. That's enough books, said no one, ever. See you again soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.